Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is House Ag Committee Democrat Nikki Budzinski of Illinois, who joins us to talk budget, farm bill, and more. But first, here's this week's headlines. Supermarket prices remained steady last month. The latest Consumer Price Index shows lower costs for dairy products, fruits, pork, and chicken offset higher prices for beef, eggs, sugar, and other products. The overall CPI was up 0.4% due to higher costs for housing and energy. USDA finalized new language on foods that can be labeled as products of the USA. The new rule requires any meat, poultry, or egg packaging receiving the label to come from animals that were born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States. The change comes after concerns that foreign meat was being labeled as American product after being imported and processed in U.S. facilities. The new rule will start at the beginning of 2026. And finally, President Joe Biden released his proposed budget for fiscal year 2025, and it includes a significant increase of funding for USDA. The department's proposed budget for discretionary programs was set at more than $31 billion, an increase of about 8% from FY 2024. Now, as is longstanding Washington tradition, the White House budget is dead on arrival to Capitol Hill, but the document does include a broad description of the president's priorities, including for the next farm bill. Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski is well-versed in the process after some time on Capitol Hill and a previous role at the White House Office of Management and Budget. She says the request is ambitious, but the language within it does deserve the consideration of Congress.
Well, I think there are two really important priorities in particular that the president has increased funding for that our family farmers really need, and I hear this firsthand in central and southern Illinois. The first would be on conservation. I think the conservation practices that a lot of our farmers are actually practicing within central and southern Illinois, to see further investment in those types of practices. So I was really encouraged to see that the president included some additional funding for conservation. The second that I was really encouraged by in the president's budget for USDA specifically was around agricultural research. What you saw was actually the president acknowledging that this was a need that we have, further investment in research and innovation in the agricultural space in his budget. That's a top priority of mine, something that I'm hoping to see addressed in the farm bill as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the farm bill, through that budget lens as well. We hear from Chairman Thompson on the House Ag Committee that he's looking to sit down and talk with Democrats about some of his funding proposals, and Democrats have expressed some opposition, some real concern about some of those proposals, but he seems to be confident that if he can sit down and have conversations, they'll be better understood. What do you anticipate is going to be kind of the playbook for House Ag Democrats on that? Is there room for compromise, or is there united opposition to some of these funding ideas that he's pursuing?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Chairman Thompson, and I think he does a good job of trying to bring us together on a number of different issues as it relates to getting to a farm bill. I think getting a farm bill done on a bipartisan basis is critically important. You know, historically, that's what's happened, is Democrats and Republicans come together to pass a bipartisan farm bill. I'm still very optimistic that we're going to get there. I, of course, am somebody who's going to meet with anyone that's going to be willing to support our family farmers. So I'm really proud to have sat down a number of times with Chairman Thompson and also the Chairman Thompson's team on the House Agriculture Committee to just talk about my priorities in the farm bill. We have spent time talking about the nutrition title is obviously something that comes up pretty consistently. In addition to conservation, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act increased our conservation, our climate smart agricultural investment by $19.5 billion. And what I've seen in going back home and talking to my Agricultural Advisory Council is a real need to use those dollars back home in Illinois on conservation practices. So when talking about the farm bill, I'm working with my colleagues to make sure that we're protecting those conservation dollars in the farm bill. I think that's really important, and that's been some of the conversation that I've been having around with Chairman Thompson around those dollars and where they'll be spent. I think they should be spent for their intended purposes, as it was legislated in the Inflation Reduction Act. And there's consistent support, I know, on the Democratic side to maintaining that. I'd say the same on nutrition. So I think there's unanimous support on the Democratic side, making sure we're protecting those. As you know, there were some negotiations around worker provisions within the SNAP plan or the SNAP program. We increased work requirements as it related to that, and that was controversial within our own caucus. But we did that. We increased some work requirements while protecting more vulnerable populations like veterans. That was a part of the budget negotiations that happened.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the IRA conservation funding, and I want to follow up on that, because is there room for compromise within the Democratic caucus? There's an idea being floated on Capitol Hill to maybe move that money into the farm bill, into the conservation title writ large, maybe removing some of the climate-specific guardrails, but keeping it targeted toward conservation programs. Is that a compromise that would have any kind of play within your mind, within the mind of House Ag Democrats?
Yeah, let me just say, I support the idea of bringing additional funding into the baseline for the farm bill, and those conservation dollars coming into the farm bill would be wonderful to further and continually support in perpetuity moving forward conservation practices. But I think it is really important that we have those climate smart guardrails on that spending. Again, just making sure that those dollars aren't siphoned off for other projects, other potential interests, that they're used for their intended purposes.
We'll have more from Congresswoman Budzinski right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. Illinois Democrat Nikki Budzinski says House Ag Democrats have many priorities for the upcoming farm bill. Chief among them is protecting the legislation's nutrition programs.
These are really important dollars for families that are really struggling. And again, it's not just about helping, provide additional assistance to families that are struggling to put food on their tables. This is also about supporting our family farmers. They're growing the food, like I said, that's putting that food on those tables. So I think there's unanimous support across the Democratic aisle. These are successful programs making a real difference. I meet with those families when I'm at home. I hear the real impact of what those dollars and what those programs mean for them. Happy to have conversations, but I think these are successful programs that we shouldn't be harming.
Mm-hmm. I know you say you're optimistic about moving a farm bill soon, maybe yet this year, but I guess if you'll indulge me in a pessimistic hypothetical, if a farm bill is not moved this year and it moves into 2025 in a new Congress, a Congress mm-hmm. potentially controlled by Democrats, mm-hmm. what would a democratically led House Ag Committee prioritize in farm bill reauthorization?
Well, a couple of things that I've been prioritizing, as I mentioned, agricultural research. I think we need to be making sure that we're making critical investments in that. Another really top priority that I see for a farm bill would be including an initiative to support young and beginning farmers. When we recognize that in the country, our family farmers' average age is 58 years old, and I look at my home state of Illinois and recognize that agriculture is our number one economic driver. We need to be thinking about what that pipeline is coming up behind our family farmers, that next generation of young and beginning farmers getting into this space. I've been advocating, and I've met with Chairman Thompson to advocate to include my young and beginning farmer initiative. I'm hoping whether we get a farm bill done this year, which I hope we can, or a bipartisan farm bill done in the next year, that those are the kind of common sense priorities that are bipartisan that we can include in a farm bill.
Mm-hmm. I know you can only speak for one member of the Democrats in the House, but what level of support do you think the Democratic conference could be in a position to offer for a farm bill if and when it does arrive to the House floor?
Well, I think there's unanimous, support for getting a farm bill done. We understand the importance of it. It provides the safety net that we need and crop insurance for our family farmers. It's the nutrition. There's endless numbers of important priorities that benefit our districts back home. We see the urgency of getting this done. I see the urgency as well in getting it done on a bipartisan basis. And so I think that there will continue to be cooperation on the House Agriculture Committee to meet this moment, to get this done. Again, bringing Republicans and Democrats together, stay focused on agriculture and the things that really impact and support our agricultural economy, and we'll get it done.
Congresswoman, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel, but first, our Hannah Pagel shows us what's going on in the sugar industry in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Biden administration officials are struggling to navigate the best approach to managing the American sugar supply amid rising prices and drought in key production areas. This chart shows American sugar exports to Mexico and Mexican sugar production from fiscal year 2008 to the projected totals in 2024. The U.S. exports are represented by the blue bars, while Mexico's numbers are represented by the yellow line. USDA expects the U.S. to export 160,000 short tons raw value of sugar to Mexico this fiscal year, which is double last year's total and the largest in 6 years. A drought in Mexico is impacting the country's sugarcane harvest, which is expected to drop Mexican exports to the U.S. by 666,000 tons this year. Philip Brasher has a look at the complex issue in his story on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this farm bill coverage.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at agripulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, joined for a continuing farm bill discussion with farm policy consultant Ferd Heffner and R.J. Carney with the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. Appreciate both of you taking the time. And Ferd, I want to go to you first, because this week we saw some Republican staff on the Senate Agriculture Committee roll out a report discussing their plans, their ideas for the Inflation Reduction Act conservation funding, and perhaps incorporating that into the farm bill and stretching it out over a longer period of time. Democrats have been resistant to that idea thus far, some particulars on Capitol Hill being debated. But I wonder, going up against that Democratic resistance to the incorporating the Inflation Reduction Act funding, even if it gets redirected to other titles, it still is within the Farm Bill. Are Democrats running a risk of perhaps not being able to incorporate that bill under a potential Trump administration, a potential Republican Congress?
Let's hope that it doesn't linger. Let's hope that we can get the job done. But I applaud the Senate Republican staff for putting that out. You know, I've been saying that since before the ink was even dry on the IRA. Others have said it. It would be a huge missed opportunity not to bring what's left of the IRA conservation baseline into the Farm Bill conservation baseline. And it would be a mistake that would cost farmers and ranchers tens of billions of dollars. And I would say I've run into very few Democratic members of either the House or Senate committee that actually want to take a pass on that opportunity. So what, you know, the holdup is, like everything else in this town, comes down to politics. And in this case, the really unfortunate partisan battle around climate and agriculture. But there's a win-win situation staring us all right in the face. Move the IRA into the Farm Bill. Retain the climate mitigation guardrails, and voila, There is more money for climate mitigation conservation and more money for all other kinds of conservation practices too. By adding more money to the trough, the new IRA dollars free up Farm Bill funding to pay for non-IRA practices too. Everybody wins. So yes, if you're talking about moving IRA funding outside of the conservation title, I think that's pretty clearly a red line that Democrats have said they're not going to support.
Mm-hmm. Democrats have been pretty, have made their opposition pretty clear to incorporating this conservation funding into the commodity title, even some going as far as suggesting they're not in favor of removing the climate guardrails within the conservation title. But are they running a risk of, you know, would they potentially be better off getting something as opposed to nothing, on this front?
No, I really don't think so. Look, if you go back before the 2014 Farm Bill passed, CBO at that point in time, before the 2014 Farm Bill, said that in 2023, conservation funding would be $1 billion greater than what it actually was in 2023, counting the IRA and the Farm Bill. So we would already be way better off from a conservation perspective if it hadn't been for the very unfortunate and misguided conservation cuts in the last two Farm Bill cycles. So no, we should not go there again. It's time to reverse it and at least restore us to where we were before the last two Farm Bills occurred.
Mm-hmm. RJ, I want to bring you into the fold here because we look at this idea, this debate of reallocating those dollars. What role do you think the desire to do that will play in efforts to move a farm bill this year? Because obviously, as anyone who follows farm policy knows, the longer you take to pass a farm bill, the fewer IRA dollars you have to reallocate just because of that reconciliation process. How do you think that factors into the effort to move a farm bill here?
I think that's the key question right now. Every day that passes is going to be, let's say, a lot tougher for Congress to ultimately pass a farm bill, get it to the president to sign. The calendar for how frequently Congress is going to be in session with an election year is getting shorter and shorter. That window is closing. So this is going to be a main point of conversation. But is all hope lost? I don't think so. I know we're approaching March Madness here, and there's always going to be an opportunity for a Cinderella story, an upset of sorts. All indications, it's going to be very difficult to get a farm bill passed and completed by 2024. But we may see. We may see that there's an opportunity, a window, the stars align, and that Cinderella story. The farm bill may be that piece of legislation. It gets done. Or at least we'll have an opportunity to have something introduced.
We'll have more from our panel right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. Farm bills are typically a product of bipartisan compromise, but RJ Carney with the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture is observing both sides of the aisle appear to be stuck in their positions at this point in the process.
I would say it's going to be very difficult to get a farm bill passed. It's just shrinking day by day. And really what we'd like to see is committees have the staff have some bills introduced and then really be able to flesh out what those details would look like. It's going to be a long road to get there, but the lines are being drawn. So we're really looking at April, May for that window. And I'm hopeful that we'll see something come through. But the lines being drawn is going to be a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm. As these negotiations continue, I know the issue of hemp production and regulation is something that has been kind of laid at the plate of a lot of state departments of agriculture per the language of the 2018 Farm Bill. Senator Mitch McConnell was obviously a very key part of getting that into the 2018 Farm Bill. He's, of course, announced his plans to step down from his leadership post, which obviously gave him such key influence over all legislation, Farm Bill or otherwise. I say all that to ask you, what role do you think Senator McConnell leaving his leadership post could ultimately have on hemp provisions in the upcoming Farm Bill?
Well, it's going to be a major loss having Senator McConnell step down. His influence there was great in the 2018 Farm Bill, but we're hearing from many of our states. There's still a lot of concern over different definitions of hemp production, and farmers want to have certainty. So whether it be with ag research, market access, conservation, there's a multitude of policy items that need to be finalized, and hemp definitely will be one of those that state departments of ag continue to look to codify in this 2024 or 2025 Farm Bill.
Ferd, I want to stick with the leadership theme here as we wrap up our conversation. Chairwoman Stabenow has announced she's planning to step down. She's also saying that she's not planning to rush a farm bill just for the sake of having another one under her belt. So if the conversation does continue under new Democratic leadership of the Senate Ag Committee as chair or ranking member, you know, you'd have Senator Klobuchar in the fold, potentially Senator Bennett or others. What does a change in Democratic committee leadership at the Senate level ultimately mean for a new farm bill?
It's a great reason to get the bill done this year in the little time that's left and move forward, because whatever the situation is next year, there's likely to be multiple leadership changes, and that inevitably means a lot of months go by to put that in place, to get new members on the committee up to speed, to staff up the committee. So, you know, it's unrealistic to think that if the Farm Bill doesn't happen this year, it will happen early next year. It will take quite a while before either committee is ready to be up and running. So to me, it's just yet another argument for why we need to get the bill done this year.
Well, will that bill get done this year? Time will ultimately tell as we approach a couple of critical months for a 2024 Farm Bill consideration. Ferd and RJ, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers, but first, our Hannah Pegel introduces us to a new member of the House Ag Committee.
Congressman Mark Molinaro represents New York's 19th District, which is home to many dairy farms and the Cortland Apple. He first entered public service when he was 18 years old and became the youngest mayor in the U.S. The Republican is a strong supporter of conservation programs and says he wants to strike the right balance on funding that title in the upcoming Farm Bill as many look to the resources in the Inflation Reduction Act.
There are going to be those who think that we should do something different. We're going to continue to advocate for, in my case, upstate New York farmers. And that's the importance here. I wasn't elected to toe a party line. I wasn't elected to simply do what somebody else asks. There are those of us who understand the need to address climate resiliency, to ensure that we're protecting natural resources and supporting not only farmers, but farmland and the resources they need.
You can watch his full Meet the Lawmaker interview on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
It's not as simple as just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Don't miss the must-attend policy event of the year. Register now for the 2024 AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit. Hear from the diverse players who are trying to revitalize rural revenues as we examine the forward-looking ideas that will drive policy decisions for this year and the decades ahead. The summit takes place on March 18th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. and through our virtual experience. View the agenda and register today under the Events tab at AgriPulse.com.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Monday is our Ag and Food Policy Summit in Washington, which will feature speakers on a variety of topics, including local food systems, biomanufacturing, and environmental markets. Registration options are still available on AgriPulse.com. The House Ag Committee will also be holding a hearing Wednesday on the danger China poses to American agriculture. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.